whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica! I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica.
Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. This is the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I'm Jessica Young.
And we are here to rant and rave. We're going to lose listeners because of that.
I know. I'm sorry if we just shrieked in your ear.
Oh, well, I'll fix it. How are you? How was your week?
It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a little service announcement of safety for everyone, for both of us included, even though I know we're too scared to try this. But to all of our listeners, depending on where you live, you may or may not have these electric scooters that have taken over.
There's Lime, there's Fly, the different ones.
They look kind of like a Razor scooter that kids have, but they're electric.
Mm-hmm.
And people use them as a mode of transportation. And it kind of seemed like a brilliant idea. You see one on the street and you're like, yeah, I can just jump on the scooter and go down.
Scan
10
the barcode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an app to activate it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that use public transport, again, they had them in San Francisco. I know the city cracked down on them there. I don't know the end result, but they're everywhere in LA.
And at first, people were annoyed because they were a visual nuisance. People just drop them and leave them in people's yards and all over
the
sidewalks.
Yeah, you leave them anywhere. Yeah. I could drive one over to someone's house and leave it out front, or you could walk out of your storefront and there's 10 scooters lined up.
Right.
Or recently, there was one parking spot in Westwood and it was filled with scooters.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're not like a motorcycle where you have to park it in a spot. It just, it made me insane. But the reason why I'm saying this is, I mean, yes, this could happen just on a Razor scooter, granted, but people aren't usually pedaling with their foot around town. These you can just zip on and get somewhere quickly. I have two friends that have recently had horrible accidents on these scooters. So I'm telling people just to beware, or maybe don't use them at all, or to be careful, because people sometimes in LA especially zip through intersections, which gives me anxiety.
I think they're going to try and start cracking down because there have been so many injuries.
Yeah. So one of my friends was in Washington, D.C. for work, and her boss, as like a treat for everybody, when they were done with their meetings on the last day, rented everybody a scooter. They were going around the city having a grand old time. And she's it doesn't matter whether you're coordinated or not, but she's an athletic and coordinated person. She hit a rock in the road and flew off the scooter and landed on her elbow, which then shattered into a million pieces.
Oh my God, I know that feeling.
Yeah, you went through that too. She had to have massive surgery and a lot of hardware put in.
Yeah.
And it's a very long recovery, and several months down the road, she's going to have another surgery to remove it. But she had been in a cast and with her arm out for so long, and I know it was driving her crazy. But yesterday, one of my coworkers also sadly went into surgery from a scooter accident. He hit something and flew off the scooter and landed on his face and his head and had to have a metal plate put in his face.
Oh,
and they're keeping him for observation for a few more days to make sure he doesn't have a head injury.
Oh, no.
And I'm just telling everyone, just be careful on those things. And again, like, first of all, they don't come with helmets.
Mm-mm.
But also, even with the helmet, if my friend who broke her elbow had been wearing a helmet, that wouldn't have helped her elbow.
No.
It's like everyone can't carry around elbow and knee pads and a helmet everywhere to jump on a Lime scooter every now and again.
Right, it's supposed to be for a quick convenience.
Yeah.
Zip up the road.
But I'm so sorry. I'm sending out love to both of my friends who are recovering from that. And everyone just please be careful, because also it doesn't matter even if you're obeying the rules. I've had several friends hit on Vespas or bicycles. Sometimes cars are not paying attention. You're in the correct lane. We have a lot of bike lanes and stuff like that in LA, and people do not pay attention, or they're on their phone. So as safe as we might be obeying the rules and riding on something, doesn't mean that the other people around you are showing as much attention.
Exactly. Please be careful.
Yeah.
I'm sending lots of love to those who have been
injured.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to tell everybody how to contact us, but I don't have it memorized like you do. And right now, I have gorilla cat. My cat, Ollie, who's part Maine Coon. Look at him. He wants your love, Jessica.
Oh, he's so cute.
He's sprawled out over my notebook.
Wearing his absolutely dapper and adorable bow tie.
I had to give him a bow tie because he's a neighborhood whore. And all of my neighbors, he goes in their houses and they started talking about who the gray cat is.
He's like a dog. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you are so
he's
pretty.
He's got white eyeliner. Isn't
he does.
Cute?
His eyes are lined with white. He has, oh, ow, Ollie. That's,
I know he's claiming you, but tell him no. He just.
No.
He does that because he's like, oh, you're mine now.
One cat peed, another cat bit.
Just bit you.
They don't like me.
But he doesn't want to let you go. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Because he loves you.
Oh, Ollie.
Now he's on his belly. Now you can see his bow tie. It's got anchors on it.
He is so cute and he is so big. Okay, if you would like to get in touch with us, please email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com. Also through our website, therantsandravespodcast.com. We have a contact button and you can send us an email through there. Please, please follow us on social media. We love hearing from you guys. We do little audio clips. We have videos. We have silly little memes that we make. All kinds of stuff. At the Rants and Raves podcast. That's on Facebook and Instagram. Twitter is @raves_the. Not so much action on Twitter for us.
No.
We're on there. But Instagram and Facebook, you can get your daily dose of rants and raves.
Yeah, we make little videos and stuff. And if you, if we've been saying, I don't know if anybody's interested, if you write a review for us, a positive review, let me make that clear. If you write a review for us and screenshot it, send it to us, we'll make a shout out video for you and post it up on our social media.
Absolutely.
Because that it's very exciting. Because I've said before, Jessica and I just sit here and stare at each other in my house. Well, my cat is laying all over our stuff. So we don't know if you listen unless you tell us.
Exactly. And it is, again, it's always fun to hear from people. We're going to always ask you every week, please send in anything that bugs you, you're annoyed by, that you want to hear people's opinion on or hear vented out, and keep sending us amazing stories about good news and or organizations that we can spread the word about and that can just inspire us with little and huge ways to help people.
Absolutely. Our motto is out with the bad and in with the good. Okay, I'm gonna have to take my notebook back from my cat. I'm so sorry.
He is not having it.
He's just not moving. Okay, so sorry. Oh, now he wants to eat it. Okay,
hilarious.
You can eat it. That's fine. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into our rants, if that's okay.
Please do.
So my first rant is from a listener who didn't like write into us, but said to me, you've got to talk about this. And this rant is people who are not ready to order when they get up to the counter or when their waiter comes to the table, but they insist on keeping the waiter there because they're like, oh, if they leave, they'll never come back.
Right.
That is so rude.
It's so rude.
It's so rude. We just stared at each other so hard. I don't know why. It wasn't like we were like, you do this. It was just like, we agree this is terrible.
Yes.
As a person who's, oh, I just closed the book on my cat. Sorry, Ollie. Now he's mad. He's chewing it. But if, as a person who used to wait tables, you waited tables, right? When somebody calls you over and then they're like, I'm not sure what I want. What do you think about this? And they want to talk with you. Listen, I want to give you good service and I'll tell you stuff. But don't ask me to stand around because I've got six other tables.
Of course.
That need to have orders. And if I don't get over to them fast enough, they're not going to tip me.
Mm-hmm.
It's rude.
It is rude. I have no problem saying, I'm so sorry. Please give us a couple of more minutes. Because
totally.
When I meet with people sometimes, if I haven't seen them for a while. Yeah, you don't come up for air and you're like, we haven't even opened the menu.
But if you are at McDonald's and you walk up to a counter,
yes,
you've been staring at that menu. And also, we all know what McDonald's has.
Yes.
We all know what Chipotle has.
Okay.
You don't have to stand there. And if you're gonna, then you turn around and look at me and go, do you know what you want? You can go ahead. Because I guarantee you, I already know what I want because I eat the same six things at every restaurant I go to.
I'll just have the chicken fingers.
I have a bean burrito minus onions plus sour cream and a double-decker taco supreme, no tomatoes, and a large diet Mountain Dew. Thank you. Done. I'm out. That's all you have to do.
It really is crazy. Now, I will say I am very indecisive, but again, unless I know everyone's ready, I will say, I'm sorry, give us a few more minutes, but I'm the queen of when they go, if I'm sitting closest to the server and they're like, and for you, I always say, I'll go last. And it's true because I'm always wavering between three things.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine because they're probably already.
Yep.
And if they're not, then somebody goes, can you come back in a minute?
Yeah.
But especially like even a Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
If I'm staring at the menu and there are people in line, I'll say, go ahead. I need a second.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make everyone wait on you.
No.
It's so mean.
I do that a lot. Also, if I'm standing there and waiting for someone, it's like, you know what? I'm going to wait till my friend. I'm like, go ahead. I do that all the time.
Yes. Yes. It's just like in a grocery store. If I have one thing and you've got a
common
two
courtesy.
Baskets full of stuff, let me go.
Of course.
Let me go. I'm probably on my way to a birthday party I waited to the last minute to get a card for. I'm in a hurry.
Exactly. God, don't you hate that when you just need to get one thing?
Yeah. Oh my God, this just happened to me. So when I was traveling, this is a lot of information. It's just you sitting here, so I feel like I'm just telling you, but I'm also aware it's going out across the world. I'm going to say it anyway, because I think this happens.
Mm-hmm.
When these days, so I always say, I've been saying lately in my old age, I'm a crier and a puker.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. Well, also when I travel on a plane, I get really bloated and I feel gassy on a plane. So I don't want to be that person that farts on a plane. I don't fart, okay?
Ever?
No.
Not even in private.
It is poop wind. And I heard a scientist talk about it the other day.
Well, it's not good to keep it in.
Well, whatever. So I stopped at the grocery store to buy Gas X to take for the plane ride.
Okay.
And there was 6 people in line. They all had baskets. So I went to the cigarette counter and was like, I'm sorry, I just have this one thing. I'm trying to catch a plane. Can I get it? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I was buying fart medicine. But still, I got out of there really quick. And then can I tell you what I did?
What?
Jessica, this is so stupid. I run out the door.
Mm-hmm.
I see my dad and my son in the car waiting. I'm like, so excited because I found it because we went to another convenience store and they didn't have it. So I was so excited. So I run over to the car. I open the door. I get my leg in. I see a man that's not my father.
Stop.
And woman in the back seat with a child.
What?
And she says, is there something we can help you with? I full blown got into another person's car.
Unreal.
That's why I say, lock your doors, people! Lock your doors!
So that you could instead come and pull on the door furiously and bang on the window since you thought your dad locked you out?
He could drive away from me. I was full blown in their car.
Unreal.
And then I didn't even try to fix it. I go, you're not my family. I get out of my car. My dad's already pulling up going, what? He goes, I saw you walk out smiling, but you weren't even looking at me. I thought, what is she doing? He pulls up. I slam the door on these strangers that I've just invaded their personal space. And I'm running towards my dad going, oh my gosh.
The only thing that would have made it more perfect is if you had left the box of Gas X
behind. Oh, God. The worst.
At least you're discreet. And I guess you, since you don't even do it in private, I excused myself last night. I think my husband got either a stomach bug or food poisoning. He was so sick. Not last night, but the night before. And last night I was like, ooh, and my stomach was like gurgling and just feeling really weird. And I was like, what's going on? And I felt a fart coming on. Okay. And so I walked outside and he was upstairs in our bedroom and I was out front outdoors and I let one rip. And even though I was outside, I tried to be discreet about it because I'm like,
there's no
at the foothills of the mountains on Ventura Boulevard and things kind of echo. So I let it rip. Not 10 seconds later, my phone starts ringing. It's my husband. I answer it. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I heard that. And he hung up. I was mortified. Mortified, but I will tell you this. One of the pinnacle moments where I knew that he was the one I was going to be with. Never once in my life, especially not on purpose. I mean, I think there's been a few unfortunate escapees, but only male that I ever passed gas in front of in my life was my brother. And it was like, I didn't care with him. I no holds barred, but never in front of a boyfriend or a male friend, even a female friend. If I was here with you, I wouldn't be like, oops, sorry.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm
have
mortified.
It.
terrified, okay?
I would ask you to exit my house.
Yes. But I remember one time I was with Alan and I felt it. This is when we were dating and I felt it come in. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, well. And I just did it. No. And he laughed so hard he was crying.
No.
And I remember telling him like a little while after that, I'm like, that's when I knew that.
No, that I was not romantic.
No.
That is not a romantic story.
It's not at all. But that was like life changing that I was like, oh my God, this is the first man I'm comfortable enough with that I really don't care. I mean,
you and
oh
I
well.
Could not be married. You want to know why?
Why?
I have a zero tolerance policy in my house.
So your husband is not allowed to pass.
Not allowed. Tests. And if I hear him from another room, I will yell, I heard that. Stop it. Go to the bathroom. And I've even asked him, because you know how I feel about it. It is literally, it is poop wind.
You are out of control.
And so I'm like, no, don't do it. Go to the bathroom. That's where it's supposed to happen.
Unreal.
I can't. I have a zero. And I have asked him and he refuses to do it. But I'm like, I don't understand why it's not that big a deal. I've asked for a cheek peel. I've asked for him to pull his cheeks apart so that the noise
what?
Doesn't happen.
Okay. I wait. What? What? Somebody help me. What do you mean?
Because the reason they make noise is your cheeks go together.
Okay.
If you just pulled your cheeks apart.
Nobody's twerking just, when they're letting a fart rip.
It would
okay?
just go. Listen, a fart is like this because your cheeks reverberate off each other. That's a fart. Now, if I pull my cheek away from my mouth, then it's just.
I cannot. I cannot. So you want to humiliate this man and have him do what they do to prisoners to make sure they're not smuggling drugs or weapons in through their rectum so that he doesn't have a loud fart.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't understand what the big deal is.
I'm crying.
I can't help it. I don't like it.
You have never once farted in front of Dan Tipton.
He says I've done it in my sleep, but he says that I'm like a shotgun. He says that I go, and then I wake up and go, ah, oh, oh. Now, I choose not to believe that story.
God, that's hilarious.
I can't handle it.
I'm sorry. Well, I can and I do. But like I said, I'm not a pig. I'm not going to like sit in the house and be like, oh,
no, you'll
oh,
just go out in the mountains and do it.
Well, I went outside again thinking like, all right, it's late. Nobody else is out here. I hope my neighbor doesn't hear it. Guarantee she did because Alan did upstairs in a bedroom with the door shut.
Yeah, but your neighbor probably thought it was Alan. So
I don't know about that.
Listen, I don't understand why it's so hard to pull your cheeks apart.
You know what? I am so baffled by
because
you.
Because here's the thing. When men go potty, when they go pee-pee, they're standing
They go
up.
To the bathroom. They are grown. They don't go potty.
Okay, they're going to the bathroom, whatever. They're urinating. They're standing up and they're holding themselves and I feel like they're tense. And so if they fart when they're doing it, it is such a loud like.
My God, you're like. Do you know the book Farts of the World?
No.
I might have to buy it for your son.
I might slap your face.
It has like 12 pages and they're featured different farts from around the world. It's the most ridiculous book. It's been out for several years. The British fart is very dignified. It's like poof. It's just like a slight poof of air.
Because they aren't holding tension in their butts, probably.
And then they get more and more ridiculous. The one that's from Jamaica, they make the fart sound sort of like the backtrack to a reggae song. It's like. I'm getting your son that book. It's unreal.
You know, my mom did this to me because we weren't even allowed to say the word fart.
Really?
Yeah, she thinks it's a bad word.
Like a curse word?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So we had to say toots, you know, or stinker.
No, thank
you. But now
you.
I am ruining.
SBD, silent but deadly.
But now I'm ruining my son because when he does anything like that, like he labels them now, he'll go, excuse me, toots. Excuse me, burps.
Oh, that's so cute. That's really sweet, actually.
But but I was mad at my mom. Like, I don't mind him saying fart. He just doesn't yet because I don't say it a lot. Mm-hmm. But I told her, I was like, listen, when our kids are teenagers, I'm not making them say stinker. They'll get beat up.
Okay.
You want my 16-year-old son to say he threw a stinker?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Or like a weird name that people have taught their kids for their private.
We also weren't allowed to say butt. That was also a bad word.
Did you have to say bottom?
Uh-huh. Or rear end.
Oh, that's too long.
Oh my God. How did we get here from ordering food at a restaurant?
Common courtesy. So out of control.
I cannot wait to listen back to our fart noises.
Oh,
we just
God.
Had a fart ballet.
You're getting that book. It's like not even up for grabs. If they have it at Paper Source still, I'm picking it up this week. Oh, and I will tell you another funny thing that my mother-in-law did, because I told you she's not like a jokester, but she does have a funny sense of humor. And the reason why it's so good is because it's so out of left field and you're never expecting it from her. And one of the times early on when I was there visiting, when we were early on in me meeting the family, they had that book and she had it in her lap under the table. And we were talking and she was just so effortless with it. We're sitting there talking, and then she pushed the one that sounds the most realistic.
Oh, it's got buttons?
And it kind of got silent and awkward, and then somebody kind of giggled, and it went, but it was his mom.
I love that.
She was doing, and like then she finally couldn't take it anymore and burst into laughter, because I didn't want to embarrass her, so I wasn't laughing. I was like, yeah, I was trying to change the subject and act like I didn't hear it, because I felt so bad for her.
I worked on a job. I've actually worked with this guy a couple of different times, and he is a wardrobe person.
Mm-hmm.
And he carries a fart machine in his pocket.
Hilarious.
But he doesn't tell anybody. And so he'll walk by you and press that.
Oh,
and the first few times, I finally turned to another actress I was working with, and I was like, did you hear that? Like, I've heard him fart like 3 times. And she goes, he carries that in his pocket and he doesn't tell people. And I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
I'm actually a huge fan of his and I've never even met him.
And he was just very professional. You wouldn't expect it from him either. Very friendly.
That's why it's
but
good.
But not like, I wouldn't look at him and go, oh, he's the fart maker.
Right. No, it's being inconspicuous. That is the key.
He hides it.
He commits.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Okay. Well, let's get back to our show.
Well, on the same lines of common courtesy, this is something that I know drives you nuts too. People who walk painfully slow down the street for no good reason. And when we say no good reason, we mean they're not elderly.
No.
They're not disabled.
Mm-mm.
There's, of course not. And
they're
don't care if I have to wait 5 minutes if someone's struggling. Of course.
Of course. But they're usually on their phone.
Uh-huh.
Or they're talking to each other. And a sidewalk is only a certain width.
Or they have a stroller with triplets in it.
Just let people around you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, I am the queen of
me too.
Loud huffing and puffing from behind because I can't get
stop
by.
Short. Like you're walking and stop.
I've run into people. Like
I
have.
Well, if they do that, I will run into them and go, oh. Like really weird. So that they know what they did was wrong.
Oh my God. With that behavior, they probably thought that you like tripped into them. Not that they did something wrong.
But I put my hands up and push towards them and go, oh.
Your level of weirdness is getting off the charts. I'm starting to get concerned. We are going to have to get her out of the house more, everybody. You're going to have to help me do that. No, like if you are taking a stroll, meaning you're on a beach without people, or you're in a meadow somewhere in a field,
as we often are.
Take your time. You're walking through a park, whatever. When you are on a main thoroughfare, a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Especially in an area that's busy and congested and all that. Move and be aware. I always hear when someone is walking behind me.
Yes.
How do you not, aren't you aware?
When they run into someone they know and they stop to have their conversation in the center of an aisle or a sidewalk.
Uh-huh. Or with their car in the middle of the street.
Yes. no consideration for anyone else.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
It really drives me insane. It happened to me again when I was working this week. And sometimes I try to check myself. Like I said, I'm like, calm down or whatever. But sometimes, A, I'm in a hurry. But even if I'm not in a hurry, sometimes I'm like, move away.
Yeah.
I am trying to move it.
Yeah.
I am trying to get in some exercise for the day. Seriously. Yeah. And like knock out a few things very briskly.
Yes.
Get back in my car and zoom away.
And it takes a lot for me to be brisk.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
It's a lot of effort for me to be like, I'm in a hurry or I got to get stuff done or whatever.
Yes.
So you're ruining that for me.
Yeah. I'm like 90% of the time in sloth mode.
Yeah.
And then when I got to move, I'm the road runner. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, and you best be moving out of my way.
Yeah. Mine too are all you. Yeah, that's infuriating. It's just, it's one of those things that, like you said, it's inconsiderate
yes.
of other people. It's like when people stop in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
On my road, for some reason, not my block, but the block up,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, people park, double park in the middle of the
yeah,
street and
yep.
put their hazards on.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're going to do that real quick, fine, but they do it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what makes you think you are so much more important
right.
than everyone else that you can break the laws of traffic and block a road?
Yes.
You ain't that important.
Okay. And
unless,
make it so people can't even pass by half the time.
Exactly. Unless you're Obama, don't you do that to me.
I know.
It's crazy that your mindset is, I'm so important, I get to break all these
right.
rules and put everyone else out of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me insane.
Right.
Or I would never.
Also, a lot of the times in LA, I notice people also pull up on a street where the whole curb is red.
Yes.
It's either a taxi zone, a bus zone, an emergency zone, whatever. But who cares to
yeah.
them, right? Or there's all the cars parked as meters and then they are waiting in the lane, which is for driving for someone.
For someone to leave.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
Pull around the bloody corner and wait
till somebody leaves.
The person gets in.
I know.
Like, it's...
I know. I don't know what's happening. My cat is like trying to
tear. I hope he doesn't take down your portal.
I know. Don't tell everybody all the fancy things I have in my home.
Did I say a portal could be a way into an alternate
What's
universe?
Happening? It could. And then definitely don't tell people I have that. Oh my God. Every animal I own is in the room right now.
That's hilarious. They are ready to play. Oh, that one's ready to
tear everything apart.
I don't know what. Oh,
he is Godzilla.
A little devil today.
He's a Godzilla.
Ollie, come over here.
Ollie. He's like, I'll come over here. I'm going to bite your hand and claim you, Jessica. Okay, we should do a cleansing breath because I feel real uptight about all that farting.
Uh-huh, me too.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
This is the only kind of air that should come out of your body and it comes from your mouth.
For some people, that could be just as smelly
just as yucky.
The other.
Ugh. Ooh, I hate, I'm sorry, my cat's going crazy. I don't know what's happening. I apologize. So we have comedy boys
mm-hmm.
around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever notice that comedy boys have meat burps before shows?
Yeah, gross.
I cannot
mm-hmm.
handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know that you ate chorizo right before you came to do a show.
Okay.
We're in the green room doing some dumb warm-up. Got your back. And all of a sudden I smell beef.
If I have to burp, I make sure that no sound comes out unless I'm alone.
Yeah.
But I do it into my shirt or
yeah.
I'll be like... And I kind of like turn my head to the side
because
I'm like, I
yeah.
don't want someone to.
Yeah, that's equally as yuck.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know why I brought that back. Okay, so we're going into corners and I'm so excited. Wait, where's my phone? Because I have such a crazy corner and I'm so mad that I shared it with you before.
Oh.
But I think still. Okay. So this is a what corner. What the what?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read it to you here. Doctors. This is unbelievable.
It's so unbelievable.
Okay. Doctors pull over 500 teeth from 7-year-old boy's mouth.
What?
Not a joke. This is by Spooky.
Can you say that number again?
500 teeth.
Yeah.
From a 7-year-old's mouth.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Dentists at a hospital in Chennai, India, were shocked to find over 520 teeth.
Holy
growing in the mouth of a 7-year-old boy who occasionally complained of toothaches. That's a good kid. 7-year-old P. Ravindran was taken to dental college and hospital in Chennai to have a swelling in his lower right jaw looked at. Dentist ordered an x-ray and a CT scan, which revealed that the abscess-like swelling was actually, actually a sack full of what looked like hundreds of teeth of various sizes. Breathe, Jessica.
The sack already has put me over the edge. A sack of teeth. Okay.
It was an abscessed sack of teeth. The growth known as compound composite odontoma is a benign tumor composed of dental tissue. But this was a particularly large one made up of a total of 526 teeth. There's a picture. We're going to have to post it. And what did you say about the picture?
I said...
I got to show you again.
Oh my God. Okay. It looks like one of like the famous artist who does the book Pheromone or something like that. And he like places insects in intricate patterns, or like when you see a native tribe making something in the sand for like a sacred circle. A Zen labyrinth.
It is a spiral of 526 teeth out of this child's body.
But it's being placed with like these ancient tweezers. I can't. It literally looks like something from an archaeological expedition that the boys did on the beach in Lord of the Flies.
It was in a sack in his mouth, nope. Jessica.
And they're all different sizes. They're like from all small sizes. To large.
There's teeny tiny ones and giant ones. Oh God, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
What?
How big was that tumor?
Abscess. I don't know. Well, some of those are pretty tiny.
Oh, dear God.
I'm going to assume just over golf ball size. Do you think that's appropriate?
What, the tumor?
Yeah. Do you think it's bigger?
No, it's bigger.
But he just complained of a toothache.
Oh, my God.
And he had 526 teeth in there.
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff with keratin and teeth. And...
Yeah, I grow extra bone. I'm going to open my mouth for you. This
you have
grows.
A tori?
What's that mean?
Bony tori?
What's that mean?
Like a bone growth on your jaw? I have it too.
Under my tongue?
Mine's here.
I see those two bumps on the side? Most people don't have those. And my dentist said that if I ever lost a tooth, they could actually harvest that to build me a new one.
Excuse me. I'll be back in a few minutes because I'm dead.
So kind of, I guess I have extra teeth in my mouth too.
That's crazy. I have it here.
Where? I don't understand. Oh, yes. That's weird. Yeah. No, I mean, mine's weird too, but I've never seen it there before.
It hurts, actually. Does yours hurt?
No, because mine's on the inside. Nothing ever touches it.
Mine does. I'm aware of it. It's kind of just like a dull pain that I'm always sadly living in. But...
When I get x-rays, it hurts because things are supposed to fit in there that
can't. Oh, God.
Can't.
That's the worst when you have to chomp down on the thing. But the dentist told me, he said, I'll be really honest with you. And I, first of all, greatly appreciate his honesty and candor. He said, unless it is causing you, he goes, I don't want you being in pain. But he goes, is it bearable? I said, yeah. He goes, unless it gets to a point where it's really bad, I don't want you to have the surgery because it's very painful.
Because it's bone, right?
Yeah. Oy. So I'm like, yeah. And he goes, it's not protruding. Like, you can't see it.
No, not at all.
And so he said, unless it gets to a point where it's protruding and or causing you serious pain, then let's leave it alone. So.
Oh my God, we both have weird mouth things. That's interesting.
That's crazy.
But we ain't got 526 teeth in a sack.
Okay.
A 7-year-old. A 7-year-old's tiny.
That kid needs to get treated at Taunton Orthodontics in Toronto.
Is this an advertisement? Not a sponsor.
Shout out to my cousin Emily.
Okay. Also, here's my big question, just to wrap this story up. How much money did the tooth fairy have to bring to that little kid?
Oh, snap. At least $526.
At the very least. Dollar because per tooth. I'm telling you, the going rate for a tooth right now is $5 to $10.
Yeah.
He's got 526 tooth fairies visits.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Something to think about.
Sheesh. It's really? A lot of that notes port. For the tooth fairy.
That's going to really break the bank.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And you brought a corner.
This is...
What corner is it?
Celeb corner.
Hollywood.
Hollywood. This makes me so happy. This is not a celeb encounter that Dana and I had personally. This is a story that I saw online and I love it. Woman used Metallica to scare off a cougar, then gets a call from James Hetfield.
I can't. You have to read this article. I can't wait.
And if you don't know who James Hetfield is, shame on you. He's the lead singer of Metallica. And whether you're into metal or not,
if you're not into metal, Metallica is still killer.
You have to respect them. They're extremely talented and they have done a lot of really cool work behind the scenes over the years for different people. They were one of the big forces with the West Memphis 3.
Oh, really?
Getting the word out about them when they were, that's a story for another time that we can talk about on another episode, but they're really cool. Yeah. And they put their money where their mouth is. Remember, they also fought for artists' rights when all of this illegal music was streamed. So I'm a big fan of them, and he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I always was into Lars.
Okay.
Yeah. Canadian woman who credited Metallica for saving her from a cougar got a friendly phone call from the band's frontman, James Hetfield.
I can't believe it.
Dee Gallant was hiking with her dog through the wilderness of Vancouver Island when she spotted a cougar just up the trail staring at her. She yelled and the cougar started moving closer, but it didn't retreat. Or excuse me, she yelled and the cougar stopped moving closer, but it did not retreat. I was out hiking when I noticed this cougar stalking me. It wasn't afraid at all and just kept staring at me. So she opened her music app on her phone to look for something loud to play. I started to play Metallica on my iTunes and that's how I finally scared it off.
That's unbelievable to me. I would not think of that.
I love it.
Yeah.
She said, Gallant said she chose Don't Tread on Me because it was loud and also the message I wanted to convey to the cougar. After having her incredible story picked up by news outlets around the world, Gallant was contacted by the heavy metal band's artist Liaison early on Friday morning, only to be called by James Hetfield later that afternoon.
I can't believe it.
I couldn't even believe he was calling me, said Gallant. She admitted she was skeptical at first, even asking him, how do I know it's really you? Following the call, Gallant received an unexpected selfie. It's a picture of James Hetfield giving kind of like the
devil horns.
Yeah, and it says, thought you might like some confirmation that it was
Look at his face.
He's so happy.
He's so happy. That's adorable.
How excited.
And that he went out of his way to find out how to contact her. I mean, come on.
And she said, he was just an absolutely wonderful guy, very down to earth, and he even knew my name. I still can't believe James Hetfield knows her dog's name.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
That's the most amazing survival story ever.
It's so cool.
What would you do if you saw a cougar and it wasn't running from you?
Oh man.
I would scream my head off. I'd do the Oprah thing. Didn't you ever see that Oprah where it was about personal safety, and if somebody tries to attack you, one of the first things you should do is put your hand out and go, no! Like that.
Oh my God. I mean, it worked when I said nope to a baby skunk that ran up to me. I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't even tell what it was because it was moving so fast at night. Uh-huh. And I just screamed nope. Not no, but nope. A word that I don't usually use, as loud as I could, and it turned around and ran away.
That's what I would do. I would never be I would not have the presence of mind to go, I should find some Metallica music, and definitely one that says, don't tread on me. So this cougar knows I am not food.
I think noise, especially with animals, is key.
Yeah.
First of all, sometimes humans, but I don't know that we would be as sensitive to it as an animal.
Yeah.
Because their hearing, especially dogs or whatever, very in tune.
Yeah.
I think noise is the way to go because a lot of animals, especially if they're a predator, they are attracted to movement. That's what's going to get them.
Yeah. So
they
I don't feel like care I how big or small something is. And then it's going to chase
you. And that cat is going to be up on you in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So I think she did the smart thing, trying not to move, or I would never charge towards the animal, but being loud. Hey, I haven't ever tried that with my phone, but when there are some hooligans on my street corner getting blazed in their car and blasting their music.
Yeah, that drives me insane.
I was really annoyed because it was inappropriate. I'm in a neighborhood with lots of kids out riding their bikes and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I did this. I was sitting on my neighbor's balcony and I had had it. But they were guys and I didn't know how old. And I was like, I'm not going to be the one to go up and tell them. Please don't sit on our street and do that. I wasn't going to call the cops or something. It's like, move along.
Right,
Be more discreet. So I pulled up sirens on my phone and played it really loud.
That's smart, Jessica.
Thinking that I would scare them into thinking the police were coming.
Did it?
It didn't work.
Oh, I thought you were brilliant. I thought you were brilliant for a minute.
So did
they. They were sitting in their car going, dude, that old woman up there is playing police sirens.
Pretty
on her
much.
Phone.
Oh my God. Aunt Jessica strikes again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did, but that's so really, did they leave?
Who, the boys?
Yeah.
No, they stayed there for quite a while.
Ugh, we're going to have to rant about that someday because I can't stand it when people smoke up outside your house and it gets
or blast music or talk on their speakerphone. Ugh.
Ugh. All right. Well, we're out of that phase of our show, so we can't go back. We're moving on to raves.
Yes.
And I'm up first. Do you mind?
Never.
Okay. So my rave this week is more of a good news story from Ashley Ziegler, wrote this article. It's called Farmer with Cancer Couldn't Harvest Crops, So Dozens of Neighbors Rally to Help. As farmer Miles Pfaff said, farmers don't quit. They don't retire. They're tough. Even when told they're quite sick, they still lace up their boots, throw on that ball cap, and go out and farm as long as their bodies will allow. Day in and day out, they know no different. It's their land, their livelihood. It's what they care for, and it's everything to them. Larry Yockey had spent the entire year growing and maintaining his family's wheat farm, despite battling stage 4 melanoma.
Oh, wow.
Ultimately, his illness caught up to him, leaving him unable to harvest 1,200 acres worth of crop. Upon hearing the unfortunate news, his fellow farmers stepped in. This is a picture of him. Isn't he sweet?
Aww.
Larry is a fourth-generation farmer and has spent much of his life in the fields. His land is what provides for his entire family, including his daughters, who plan to become fifth-generation farmers. People in his community know and love Larry and his family, so when word got out that he couldn't harvest his crop, local farmers and volunteers quickly got together to organize what they call a harvest bee to finish the work for their friend. This is a picture of all the tractors out there.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? Friend and volunteer Miles Pfaff defined a harvest bee best by saying, there comes a time when farmers do quit. They quit what they're doing, put aside their own obligations, their weekends when one of their own needs help. They donate their time, their diesel, and their equipment. They do whatever it takes to ensure a fellow farmer can finish his harvest and get the crops in, the crops he's worked all year tirelessly for. And when the, I know, me too. And when this happens, we call it a harvest bee. And it's not just the farmers, it's the local volunteer firemen with fire trucks, the chemical company with their dust defeating water trucks, and their mechanics with their service rigs. It's a rare sight, a tangible, palpable feeling and environment, and it's living, breathing proof that community, compassion, and goodwill still exist. Look at all of those machineries.
That is so powerful.
Nearly 60 neighbors showed up to Larry's harvest bee to ensure he'd be able to reap the benefits of a year's worth of work. With the sheer volume of people, they were able to complete the harvest in only 6 hours, a task that would have taken Larry 3 weeks to finish. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Larry told a local news station that his gratitude is indescribable. He and his family were overwhelmed with emotion as they watched the harvest bee unfold and witnessed firsthand what the power of community and generosity can accomplish. I love that.
This is a prime example, as we've said, even if everyone helped one day a year.
This changed
6 hours
man's life.
Changed his life.
His entire family.
Saved his land, saved their crop for the season.
Yes, and it took them 6 hours.
Absolutely astounding what can be done.
It really did give me chills. Isn't it beautiful? And that's why I like to say about what we're doing right now, we want to build community.
Mm-hmm.
We want to spread the word because that's the power of community. That's the goodness of community. It's incredible.
I also love that people, instead of being competitive or not caring, used their supplies
resources.
All of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Their own resources to help a friend.
It's so refreshing.
It's so beautiful. And Larry, wherever you are, we're sending you best wishes. And I hope that...
Yeah.
I hope that you can be treated and go into remission and continue providing for your family.
Absolutely.
And to your community. Holy heck.
To all the people who came out. You
guys are heroes, for real.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that's my rave this week.
Oh, I love it. Those pictures are really beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to have to share some of these pictures. They really are, like, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And just to know...
Look at how big that land is.
I mean, 1,200 acres.
And that's probably 1 acre that we're looking at
probably.
Right now.
My dad owns 15 acres, and I look at it, and I'm like, good Lord, yeah. This is 1,200 acres. No,
that's staggering.
Yes.
And it's such a fickle thing. Like, anything that comes with agriculture and farms.
It's on a time schedule.
It has to be done, and people get wiped out because of a bug that goes into a citrus crop, or flooding at the Mississippi, still underwater. I'm going to throw that in while we're talking about this. You guys can look up hashtag finish the pumps and do some research and look at how insanely devastating the flooding that has happened in Mississippi with people's land completely underwater. Not only still, it's not getting any kind of national attention. I have a dear friend who every day is pushing out there about information. She has been blocked by a lot of certain groups and lobby groups because they don't like that she's calling attention to it.
We should all be harvest being for them.
It's insane. Well, you can't because these people have lost their crops.
But I mean, like, coming together to help them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the not only the effect on the farmers, and hello, people, most of the materials, a lot of the materials used for our clothing comes out of that state. It's also a big agriculture state for food, but there are pictures every day now of all of the displaced animals from the flooding, and you see deer with their ribs showing, like, or just straight up dead. There was a picture recently of a baby deer with the mama deer who was completely dehydrated and just sitting on the side of the road. It is tragic. Animals are being affected as well as all of the humans. It's a disaster. So,
well, if any of our listeners live in that area and know of organizations that are trying to help or ways that we can reach out, please please send it in to us, because we will be more than happy to highlight that. Please, I'm serious.
It's a horrible situation. And again, sadly, something I think a lot of the times that doesn't make the news, or people think, oh, that's not in our state, or that's not our area, or that doesn't affect us. Everything affects everyone, people. It's all a chain.
And so what if it didn't?
Yeah.
It's about compassion.
Right.
You know?
It doesn't matter. Really doesn't.
No.
So huge mad respect to the farmers out there of this country.
Out
across the country.
And shout out to these 60 people that rallied to help this, to help Barry. I love it.
I love it too.
And that's my rave. What'd you bring this week?
So my rave this week is featuring Helen Keller International. This is an organization that dates back to 1915.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they specialize in fighting and treating preventable conditions such as blindness and malnutrition.
Mm.
With programs in 21 African countries and Asian countries, plus the United States, HKI programs combat hunger, cataract, trachoma, pardon my pronunciation, onchocerciasis, river blindness is what that is.
Ooh.
And refractive error. HKI aims to reduce the suffering of people who have little access to healthcare because of poverty. Since women and children across the world are more likely to experience extreme poverty and poor health, HKI's programs concentrate on these particular populations. Before I tell you a little more about it, I thought this was very interesting. A little callback to Dana's rave recently on the organization givewell.org.
Yes. From episode 25.
Yes. That rates and researches and does the legwork on how and where your money is going to and what organizations do with donations and what is the most reputable. So Helen Keller International is rated 4 stars by Charity Navigator, recommended by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, also incredible, and is a top charity at givewell.org.
Amazing.
So they have been vetted as far as being the real deal. So one of the big things that they do is also helping people with adding certain things to the diet, because a lot of health problems come from malnutrition.
Right.
So one of the big crops that they go to these communities that are affected by this is yams.
Oh.
Because they're so high in like vitamin A and beta carotene and things like that. I do too.
Yum, yum, yum.
I really love them. But just that alone is helping lessen the chances of this, or people to, because these are in communities where I guess blindness is a huge problem.
Oh.
So it's very cool and goes back to medicine as food, right? Mm-hmm, like there are things within our food, good foods, of course, that help, or that again, we take for granted. You don't think about it. If you're someone who's eating pretty healthy, balanced foods or getting your vegetables in and things like that, you may not even be aware of it.
Yeah.
But these are people who might not have a lot of certain things grown in their area, or was never even in, or the area has been decimated by famine or there's nothing growing there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And potatoes, which yams are, you know, in that right. family, those can kind of grow anywhere. Right. They're in Russia, they're in Ireland, they're in the U.S. Like. Yeah.
Unless you have a potato famine, which was devastating. But yes. that's another history story for another day.
Totally. But that's like a hardy crop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really incredible organization. Beautiful pictures of them around the world and the work that they're doing. But I think it's so neat that this organization now is 104 years
old. That's incredible.
So check out Helen Keller International.
Yeah.
And so cool that it's named after her because I personally, from the time I was a kid,
was obsessed inspiring.
With Helen
Have you
Keller.
Seen that video ever of her talking with her?
With Annie uh-huh. Sullivan? Yeah.
Ugh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, she is, honestly, anytime I have a bad day, I should just be like, you know what? You're not Helen Keller.
Read any of the quotes of her because it is
she was an incredible human being
and brilliant.
Yes,
and some of the most inspiring, famous things that you've probably heard before and didn't realize
it was her
came from her.
Yeah,
my friend Erica she's from Alabama, and in Tuskegee they have the Helen Keller birthplace.
Oh.
So it's like the home and all that. And they have the water pump where Annie spelled out water into her hand.
Uh-huh.
So she's an actress. And she, as a child, played Helen. Then when she got older, like around high school age, they had her play Annie Sullivan.
Oh.
And I think it's so cool. So she did that. It was like, it's a summer production that goes on every year.
That's amazing.
But I also love that she got to go full circle. Play Helen as a child and then play Annie as a older woman. When
that's
our first
amazing.
Audition, when I met her in college, she did, I call it the monologue, the Annie Sullivan monologue, because Annie Sullivan also like kind of had a hard past and I think was in an orphanage for part of her life.
Interesting. I don't know that much about her.
Yeah, she's a very cool woman to look up. And I just remember seeing my friend do them. I'd never met her and she was gorgeous and she was a really good actress, and I'm watching her and I remember her saying, "We played with rats."
Oh,
and the impact of that.
I hope it was a little more emotional than your performance right now, because you're laughing hysterically.
Oh God, Erica's probably listening and falling out of her chair right now. No, but it's really cool. And again, Annie Sullivan also, as amazing as Helen is, Annie Sullivan, an incredible woman and teacher.
Oh, God. She's the reason that Helen was able to have a voice.
Yes. And insisted that there was ways that she could communicate with her, and whatever her intuition told her that this child understands, there's ways to
brilliant.
Teach. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Going back to sweet potatoes, mm-hmm. did you know that there is, there's a country, I forget where it is, a listener will know for sure, that they're known for having tons of twins.
No.
They have tons of twins.
Really?
And they believe it's because they eat a lot of sweet potatoes. That's one of their major crops. And so they're trying to study and find out.
Interesting.
If that has something to do with them having so many twins in this town.
That is.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to look it up. I'll give you guys an update. We'll have an update corner.
And I guarantee you, some of our younger listeners are going to be like, I'm going to start eating sweet potatoes every day because I always wanted twins.
I know. Let me tell you, as a woman who has a child, you don't want twins.
Okay. Unbelievable. Dana.
I think that's our show.
I think it is our show.
Now, we usually have something positive or fun or a weekly point to ponder or a recommendation at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Jessica, I believe this week you have a weekly point to ponder, but it comes with a story.
No, I don't want people to be let down. There's no real story behind
it
other than
story.
Yes. So when I had my family in town last week and I was driving them around, we were coming down like a certain part of Hollywood that was like more into the residential area. And on the street corner, when we're on a street light, there was a guy walking his baby goat on a leash like a puppy. And my head exploded.
They are so cute. You know, I was saying my friend Jay, his parents have two pygmy goats.
Oh, and the little ones.
They're teeny and they're so cute. I posted pictures on my Instagram of me just snuggling. It was laying its head on my shoulder and my eyes were closed. So basically, Jessica, that was uncalled for.
Our question to you is, goats, pets or lawnmowers?
That's it. Just a conversation starter. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll be back again next week.
Bye.
Bye.